Do you love Yankee baseball? If so, this is the show for you. Welcome to Pinstripe Talk with your host, Nick Delahanty. Welcome to another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. And man, let me admit this. What a bad series for the Yankees against the Tampa Bay Rays. And we're going to break down that entire series. Some of the things that stand out in terms of what happened. Let's just say, it really wasn't pretty for the Yankees. And it got off to a great start. You know, game one of the series, you had the Yankees win the game 4-1. Hap looked brilliant, seven strong, able to turn it to the bullpen. Betances and Chapman did their job. Betances left that leadoff home run in the eighth, but was able to bounce back. Chapman looked the best that he has in, I would say, a couple of weeks. And from there, you're sitting and you're saying, you know, maybe the Yankees are turning that new leaf. You know, they beat a team that they're supposed to beat. When you go out on the field and you look at a Tampa Bay Rays team that isn't even close to the caliber of baseball that you're supposed to be playing, you think that you're going to be able to handle them. And as fans, you sit back and you say, oh, you know what, we got to at least win 2 or 3. However, the series took a turn for the worse on Wednesday. The Yankees keep doing it. And by that I mean, they keep turning the ball over to guys who don't belong in the starting rotation. And yes, CC Sabathia is hurt. There's nothing you can do about it. The guy's 38 years old. Nobody expected CC to last a whole year. That is a dream that nobody thought would ever come true. We all knew the knee injury and how much that's impacted him. Just alone to be able to pitch to this point and be all right. The Yankees have been grateful with that. But the big guy needs rest. The Yankees put him on the DL. And who do they turn to? They turn to Luis Sessa, who going into the start was 1-2 in the rotation. I'm tired of seeing this guy in the rotation. You know, he hasn't been able to perform. Yes, he had one good start. I believe it was against the Orioles. However, this guy is not meant for the rotation for the Yankees. Let's face it, Luis Sessa is not a long-term answer for the New York Yankees. Why do I say that? Come this winter, he's likely going to be traded. You saw the trade when the Yankees gave up Brian Mitchell when they dumped Chase Headley's salary. I expect Sessa to be included in some type of deal like that. Because now the Yankees are going to be pressed to make a decision on Sessa. He's out of minor league options after the year. And the Yankees have to decide, is he a major league pitcher? Is he a guy that you want to keep on your roster for the long haul? If it was me, my answer is definitely no. So the only option is to either release him, designate him for assignment to clear a 40-man roster space for the Rule 5 draft, or try to find a creative trade that can maybe help you bring something back in return that could benefit you in the long haul. Sessa has no room on this team moving forward. So I don't understand why he keeps getting spot starts here and there. When you have guys like Chance Adams, Justice Sheffield, even though he did struggle in his start this week, it doesn't have to always be the guy with, as manager Aaron Boone said, the quote-unquote experience. The Yankees have to realize you're in the middle of a playoff race. Experience does matter, of course. You're not going to tell me that, you know, somebody like Shane Robinson should be in the lineup over Brett Gardner. Experience does play a factor. However, when you're not talking about a, say, CC Sabathia over a Justice Sheffield or a Chance Adams, you're talking about Luis Sessa, who doesn't have that much big league experience, and his big league experience hasn't been that great. So I think it's time for the Yankees to realize, give the youth a chance. I get it, they don't want to rush Sheffield up to the big leagues. And they were forced to move up Adams, who, let's be honest, handled his own in Fenway. That's not an easy place to make your first major league start. The Yankees need to just understand that Sessa doesn't have a long-term fix on this team. To keep giving him starts is counterproductive. If they wanted to kind of give the game away or use a starter that they didn't feel was going to give them enough of a quality start, they should have just threw Sonny Gray. You had to now they had to designate George Kontos for assignment, a guy they recently acquired. And you know what? You might lose him if he doesn't clear waivers. You might not be able to keep him around. So you know what? All your roster moves, they play a big effect. And they have an impact on what you're doing moving forward. So bringing up Sessa for one night to struggle and ultimately kill the bullpen wasn't ideal. If Sabathia is forced to miss another start, I hope they decide not to throw Sessa in that mix. Give me Chance Adams. Give me Justice Sheffield. Let's see what these guys can do. Yes, it's a hard predicament to put them in right now. But you're going to have to eventually give them a chance. If you're expecting them to come up in September, you're only a few weeks out. Let's see what they can do. You know, Sheffield's the one that really boggles my mind. You sit back and you say, they're so high on this guy, and they gave up a lot to get him in the Andrew Miller trade. Why not see what this kid could do? If you watch any of Sheffield's starts, the kid has confidence over the moon. He attacks the zone. Yeah, he has a little bit of a walk problem. He does walk a lot of guys per nine, his numbers this year. But he has electric stuff. Not every day do you see a guy coming out of the rotation throwing 96 or 97 from the left-handed side. So, you know, I want to see it. I might be rushing him. I might be a little trigger-happy here or trigger-friendly, whatever you want to say. But it doesn't hurt to see. Right now, let's face it. The Yankees are out of the division race. Boston's playing out of their mind, and they're on a historic pace right now. And it's nothing the Yankees have done wrong. You know, right now when you sit and you look at the Yankees' record, you're 29 games over 500. How many teams would die to be 29 games over 500? You look at any other division. I believe right now the Yankees would only be in second place in one other division. So it just goes to show you how good Boston's been. And give them credit. They go out every night and they take care of the bad teams. The Yankees haven't been able to take care of the bad teams or the mediocre teams. They take two steps forward and three steps back. And yes, Aaron Judge is hurt. We'll get into him in a little bit. And Gary Sanchez has been out. We'll get into him as well in a little bit. But you see guys that have just continued to struggle. And you don't understand why or how or what's going on. Is there a lack of fire from this team? Is there a lack of motivation from the coaching staff on this team? Those are the things that we need to figure out. If they want to make a deep run into October, it's not going to be easy. You're looking at a one-game playoff, and the way the Yankees are playing, that game might end up being on the road. You might have to go to a Seattle or an Oakland or, heck, even a Houston. That's not a gimme game. Anything can happen. And right now, if you're the Yankees, who do you start in that one-game playoff? Do you start a Luis Severino who hasn't been able to figure it out since the All-Star break? Or do you go to a guy like J.A. Happ, who's been throwing the ball well since he came to the Bronx? Or do you go with a Tanaka who, on Thursday, let up two early runs and really buckled down? Honestly, could have probably went into the seventh inning at only 92 pitches and they took him out. You know, there's so many questions with this Yankee team, and you don't even know when your two biggest bats, no offense to Giancarlo Stanton, your two biggest homegrown bats are coming back. There's no timetable on Judge right now. Heck, he hasn't even swung a bat yet. There's still issues with the wrist. Just had a cortisone shot a couple of days ago. Sanchez is starting to run and starting to catch and hit. He's not supposed to start a rehab assignment until at earliest next week. You're looking the beginning of September to see Sanchez. What do you do until then? You can't hit with runners in scoring position, which we'll get into for Game 3. That's our next head scratcher there. And you're not getting production from guys that you need it from. But we'll talk more about that after we take a break. We'll take a quick break. We'll get into Game 3 of the Rays series. Also, later on, we'll take an injury update on Judge and Sanchez, and we'll discuss whether or not the Yankees should make a move for an outfielder while they wait for Judge to return to the lineup. This is Pinstripe Talk with Nick Delahanty, live on Simplecast, TuneIn Radio, Google Play Music, and iTunes Podcast Music. We hope that you are enjoying the Pinstripe Talk podcast. If you have something to say or would like to comment on something that you heard on our show, please feel free to contact us via social media. You could contact our host, Nick Delahanty, on Twitter by tweeting at Nick_Delahanty, or you could send us an email, pinstripetalk@gmail.com. And we're back with the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Before the break, we talked about the struggles of the New York Yankees, especially in the starting rotation and offensively a little bit. Now we're going to take a look at a game that the Yankees took a lot of criticism for, and that was Thursday afternoon's series finale with the Rays. You know, you go into the series, you go into the series split at one apiece, and you want to get that second win in the series, because the goal is basically, you want to win each and every series you're playing. Especially for the Yankees, you know, if you could take two out of three from every team you play, especially during your home stretch, you end up with an over 500 record, and you're looking pretty solid from there. But the Yankees just keep finding a way to lose games to teams that they should be beating, and it was more relevant on Thursday afternoon when the Yankees had a chance to strike in the bottom half of the ninth, and it was an ugly, ugly, ugly inning. And what I mean is, you start the inning by loading the bases. Gregorius leads off with a single. So you're thinking, okay, Yankees have a chance. You send the tying run to the plate. Something good might happen here. Then Torres, who has been atrocious as of late, he was 0-17 going into the at-bat. One for his last 24. Bloops a single to right field, giving you first and second. So now you're sitting there and you're watching the game and you're saying, all right, they got something going. Winning runs at the plate. Let's see what Walker could do. Walker comes up. Nobody out. He walks to load the bases. Now you're saying, man, we're cooking. Tampa's really in a bind here. Nobody out. Bases loaded. We're right where we want to be. Tampa Bay goes to the bullpen. They bring in Colarek to face Bird. Lefty versus lefty. Which, not surprising, being that Bird and Gardner, who was on deck, were both left-handed hitters. Action restarts. Bird sees the first pitch and pops out down the third baseline in foul territory, leaving everybody scratching their head as to why he didn't at least take a pitch or see what Colarek had. Just a poor at-bat. Then the veteran Gardner, who's come up many times before in the clutch situations and has produced, strikes out on a really ugly swing on an inside pitch. Now you're down to two outs, and you still haven't put a ball in play in fair territory. Then Austin Romine, and he comes up, and he has the same result. He strikes out. So then you go from loading the bases with nobody out to having three really poor at-bats to end the game and lose the game and ultimately lose the series. That cannot happen. And this team has had their struggles offensively, don't get me wrong. They haven't hit well with runners in scoring position, and that's no secret. However, with the game on the line, you would hope to see better at-bats, especially from some of your guys that you consider keystones in this lineup. You know, Bird struggled. He really hasn't had that much success at the plate. And Gardner's a guy that you expect to just come up in the clutch. And Romine's been a run-scoring machine lately. So out of the three, you would at least expect to score one run. But the Yankees were unable to come up in the clutch. Now let's go back to two guys that we covered during this inning. One guy who actually got on base and one who didn't. Let's start with Gleyber Torres. We all know how great Gleyber was early in the year. Arguably, he was running away with the American League Rookie of the Year award. He lands on the disabled list due to a hip injury and comes back and is nearly not the same player. Now, mind you, he might not be 100%. That could be part of it. However, Major League pitchers make adjustments. And Major League pitchers are going to find ways to get guys out. It's up to the player to make the adjustments back to counter what pitchers are doing. Baseball's like a chess match. Depending on what your opponent does is how you're going to react. For Torres, he really needs to sit back and understand you're not in the minor leagues anymore. You're facing the best of the best every single night. These guys are going to find ways to get you out. You have to make sure that you're finding ways to adjust back. Like I said earlier, before his ninth inning at bat was 0 for his last 17 and 1 for his last 24. Let's be honest. With a weak Yankee lineup with their injuries right now, the Yankees need Torres to hit. They need him to be the first half Gleyber Torres. Miguel Andujar hasn't missed a beat. He's been on fire. Stanton's been on fire lately. But Torres is that guy that they have hitting in the middle of the lineup due to the injuries that they really need to step up. When Gleyber was asked after the game if he was trying to chase results, he told reporters, he said, you know, quote unquote, sometimes for sure, I want to compete and I feel like I haven't been doing my job. So you could see he's pressing and that he's trying to get back on track. It's only a matter of time before I feel like Gleyber gets back on track. But for the time being, he just has to really take a step back and these veteran guys need to help him out and lead him the right way and tell him, you know what? You're a great athlete. You're a great baseball player. You're here for a reason. You didn't get here by luck. You didn't get here by doing the minimum. You have to put the extra work in, and you have to learn how to adjust to the big league level. Because when he does adjust, pitchers are going to have a hard time getting him out again. Hopefully his hip is not bothering him still, and that's in the past. But you have to wonder, is that hip still bothering him? Is that still an issue that Gleyber's dealing with? Because that could play a factor in as well. And yeah, he's young. He's back in the lineup. He's been playing almost every day. But you just hope that he didn't rush himself back and that hip becomes a nagging issue that he has to deal with down the stretch. The other guy I want to talk about is Greg Bird. And Bird has mightily struggled. He really hasn't been the guy that everybody has expected him to be this year. This year he's hitting .215. He's played in 66 games so far, 9 homers. You know, when the Baby Bombers, as many people call them, were on their way up through the system, and Bird was coming through close to the big leagues, a lot of people called Bird the best hitter on this team, the best pure hitter on this squad, out of this group. However, we all know the injury bug has derailed him and has been an issue. And when he was injured, you hoped, you know, we need Greg Bird back. Greg Bird's a big piece of this lineup. Then you see what he did in the playoffs against Andrew Miller. Hit that monstrous home run in the playoffs. And you wonder to yourself, is that the guy we're going to see? Are we going to get a 30 home run Greg Bird for 7, 8, maybe 9 years? Unfortunately, it hasn't happened yet. And Bird has seen his struggles. And quite honestly, it's hard to tell what's going on with Bird. He's a guy that he really has the potential, but it appears like he just swings at the wrong pitches in the wrong counts. You know, that ninth inning at bat, in my opinion, was a terrible at bat. First pitch swinging, that's a pitch that you have to lay off. First pitch back into the game for the reliever. You want to see what he's got. Help your teammates out. Let them see what he's got. Tough left-hander. A weird delivery. Be patient. There's sometimes that he's over-patient, and there's sometimes that he's over-aggressive. And I feel like that will come with time, especially as a young player. Bird, let's remember, Bird's only 25. But the Yankees are pressed that this is a situation where he has 160 big league games under his belt, and he's a career .222 hitter. How long do you see if Greg Bird could be that long-term solution? And when do you make a decision if it's time to move on? Because let's face it, the Yankees' window to win is coming up, if not already here. They need to figure this out as soon as possible. And I feel like August and September are going to be a big indication as to what's going to happen with Greg Bird. If the Yankees look for a platoon, maybe a right-handed complement bat this offseason to go along with him. Or do they find another option and get rid of Greg Bird in total and end the Bird experiment? It's going to be telling with time. And you hope that Bird can figure it out because seems like a good guy and seems like he's well-liked in the clubhouse, but it just hasn't clicked. And his comments after Thursday's game really, really scared me and concerned me as a, first of all, as a fan. Secondly, as somebody who covers the game and loves to watch the sport. Bird was asked by the reporters how he felt and whatnot in terms of his overall play. And he was asked, I believe by Meredith Marakovitz, whether or not he was pressing at the plate a little bit, and if the struggles were getting in his head. And Bird, who seemed to be very happy and calm in the dugout, in the locker room, correction there, said, I'm just proud to be playing. This is the most games I've ever played, quote unquote. Now, to me, that sounds like a guy who's content with what's going on with his situation at the plate and what he's been doing. That, to me, is very scary. Because is Greg Bird content with just being in the lineup and competing every day? Or is Greg Bird just saying that to appease the media, to make it seem like he's not pressing at the plate to put more pressure on him? Honestly, Greg Bird needs to realize the pressure's on, whether he likes it or not. Whether he realizes it or grasps it or not, he has to start producing. This Yankee lineup needs him. They need him healthy, and they need him producing. Right now, he's healthy. Aaron Boone thinks that his struggles might be due to the fact that he's had a heavy workload in his case and is a little tired and worn down from playing so much, which could be. However, you just hope that Greg Bird isn't content with what he's doing and how that he's actually on the field every day and not concerned about his production at the plate. Because if that becomes the status quo, you're not going to get much out of Greg Bird. You want him to have that same kind of passion that Torres has. And when Torres spoke today, he said, you know, I'm pressing at the plate. I'm not doing my job. That's what you want to hear from these guys. And I don't want to speak for Greg Bird because he could be thinking it and just not want to say it to the media. You know, the minute he says, oh, I'm pressed and I'm struggling, I don't know what to figure out, you know, the media is going to rip him. The fans are going to rip him. The production at the plate and the production in the field is going to be the only thing that quiets the fans and the media and everybody who follows the New York Yankees. So, as somebody who likes Greg Bird, wants to see Greg Bird do well, I hope he can figure it out. But I just hope that he's not getting into a content kind of hole where he's okay with just being in the lineup every day and that whatever he does on the field is just a benefit or a positive to what he's been able to do, being able to stay healthy so far. We'll take one more break. Talk about Judge and Sanchez's injuries. And should the Yankees go after another outfielder for the time being just to cover their tracks until Judge comes back? We'll take a closer look when we come back here on Pinstripe Talk. You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast on Simplecast, Google Play Music, iTunes, and also TuneIn Radio. Remember to follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND. And follow our host, Nick Delahanty, at Nick_Delahanty. And we're back on the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. A reminder that you can interact with us on social media. You can follow our Twitter page, at PinstripeTalkND. You can follow my personal page, at Nick_Delahanty. You can also email us your thoughts and comments on the show by emailing us pinstripetalk pinstripetalk@gmail.com. Also, breaking news, we have just been accepted onto iTunes. They will be streaming our podcast. Make sure you go on there, subscribe, give it 5 stars. Whatever you want to do, leave comments. We'd appreciate all the input you provide. Make sure you help us spread the word, trying to get our podcast off the ground. Now, let's take a look at the injury bug. Start with Gary Sanchez. Sanchez appears to be somewhat making progress towards coming back. And what I mean by that is Sanchez has been videoing himself hitting, playing catch. On Thursday, you saw him catching in the bullpen for the Yankees, which is a great sign. It appears that Sanchez is coming closer to a rehab stint, and I believe the timetable is that they're hoping that he could start one by August 23rd or 24th, which puts him in line to be brought back sometime near the beginning of September, if I'm not mistaken. The Yankees need Sanchez, and they need him offensively. And how I would handle that is once he returns, pending how Giancarlo Stanton's hamstring's doing, I would have him DH almost every day. I would, with the roster expanding, I would keep 3 catchers. I would let Romine do the bulk of the catching. And I would see if you could find lightning in a bottle with Sanchez and try to get his bat going. I feel like him worrying about his defense is hurting his offense. So getting him to ease back in and have him DH for the most part, I think will help him. And I think will help the Yankees. Let's face it. Sanchez is too good to keep out of the lineup. And he's too valuable to the Yankees. I get there's people that don't like his hustle and are upset with the way he was playing before he got hurt. But let's face it. The Yankees need Gary Sanchez. Romine's been fantastic. You can argue he's the best backup catcher in the league. And I think that once Sanchez returns, you have that luxury of keeping Romine in the lineup by using the DH spot. And like I said a few minutes ago, Stanton's hamstring is going to determine what the Yankees do moving forward. If he can't play the field, they're going to have to use the DH spot for him, especially the way he's swinging the bat. Stanton's been the guy recently that the Yankees acquired what they visioned they would acquire when they made the trade in the offseason. He's been on fire. Seems like every time he comes up, he hits either a home run or a scorching line drive that finds a hole somewhere. That's going to determine what the Yankees are able to do. And hopefully Stanton's healthy so Sanchez could be utilized as the DH, at least for the first part when he returns. Once he gets going, I think the Yankees can move him back behind the plate and we'll have more flexibility with that DH spot. And then there's Aaron Judge. They were given a 3-week timetable when he originally hurt the wrist. But now it appears that that's not the case. This is a quote from Brian Cashman when he made an appearance on WFAN with Mike Francesa on August 15th, which was Wednesday. Quote unquote from Cashman, "We thought maybe 3 weeks would cover it," talking about the injury. "But it's going to be longer than that. So we missed on that time frame. We've repeated the MRI just to be certain there's nothing new or nothing missed. Everything is as expected. They gave him a cortisone shot to alleviate the pain." So from that statement, that tells me, number one, there's still an issue with the wrist, being that Judge still has pain. Number two, the Yankees were concerned that the injury was worse than they expected or thought earlier. Number three, right now, we have no timetable on when Aaron Judge will return to the lineup, if it's anytime soon. That is concerning, especially with the way the Yankees need him. Yeah, Judge is not happy he's not in the lineup. He really, really wants to be out there. He's a guy that wants to be in the lineup every day. However, the Yankees cannot force him to come back right away because they need him down the stretch. They need him healthy long term. You can't risk him getting hurt any further. But that leads us to the next question. If Judge is going to miss extended time, which I would say middle of September would be a logical time for him to return, what do the Yankees do until then? That's the key. Right now, Frazier's still dealing with his injuries. Right now, it doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon. Stanton's hampered by a hamstring injury. So you're forced to put Neil Walker, who is more valuable in the infield, and never really was an outfielder, in right field. Now, you have 2 weeks till the waiver wire trade deadline. And the Yankees could go out and get an outfielder. They could go and call Toronto and try to get Curtis Granderson, a veteran guy who could play multiple outfield spots, a good leader, used to the New York media, used to how New York works, played for both the Yankees and the Mets. That could be a guy that could fit. Or you could look into somebody who I feel is really an interesting fit, and that would be Adam Jones from the Baltimore Orioles. John Heyman from FanCred stated in his article on Thursday morning that the Orioles recently approached the Yankees to see if there was any interest in Jones, considering that Judge is out and Frazier and Sanchez are both injured. Now, Jones cleared waivers, so the Yankees could trade for him if they wanted to, but it doesn't appear like there's that much interest in adding. And the reason being is I think the Yankees want to stay under that luxury tax threshold, and that's hampering them from doing anything major before the waiver trade deadline. Do I blame them? Absolutely not. But I do feel like they can't go into September with this bench. Right now, their bench features Shane Robinson, Kyle Higashioka, and Ronald Torres. Yes, when the rosters expand, you could bring up some guys to help kind of ease the burden a little bit. You bring up a Tyler Wade, who will be valuable, a speedster who could play probably 5 to 6 positions. You bring up some of these guys, maybe like a Ryan McBroom or a Luke Voit, to play a little first base, a right-handed complement to Bird. But they're still lacking an outfield. They're still lacking options in the outfield. Let's face it. Robinson is a guy that no Yankee fan wants to see in the lineup on any given day. To see Robinson getting so much playing time in the middle of a playoff race to get into the playoffs is rather disturbing. So yeah, I would love to see the Yankees get an outfielder before that deadline passes. Whether it's Granderson or Jones, I feel like they need to make one more move. They need to bolster up their bench to ease until they get healthy. They're struggling with injuries. Montgomery went down early. Sanchez and Judge. You look at these guys, and if the Yankees are healthy, they're a lot more dangerous than they are right now. But you can't obviously alter the injury bug, and you have to go with what you got. But in the same token, if there's a logical trade partner to get an outfielder, a veteran guy that can help you win now, I feel like you have to pull the trigger. And I think that Brian Cashman will assess what the Yankees have and will ultimately pull that trigger. It's just a matter of when and if the Yankees decide they need to do it. So that will wrap it up for Pinstripe Talk. Can't believe it's the 4th episode already done. Reminder, continue to follow us on social media. Follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND. My personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Email us some thoughts and comments on the show, pinstripetalk@gmail.com. You can find the podcast on Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Simplecast, and of course iTunes, where we hope you leave us some likes, subscribe to the podcast, feel free to share it with your friends. Once again, I'm Nick Delahanty. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. We'll see you next time, and go Yanks.